I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Veronica Thompson-Smith. Veronica runs Waco Work, a co-working space downtown on Columbus Avenue, but she's also an entrepreneur in her own right with her floral design company, Flower and Ink. We talk about what she's learned working alongside other small business owners, how she finds art in unusual places, and the uncomfortable realities of being involved in an interracial marriage. But first, it's what's happening here with commercial real estate expert Greg Gleim. Our commercial real estate expert Greg Gleim is in again this month for What's Happening Here, where he answers your questions about what's going on in the commercial space in Waco. Greg, fresh off the heels of the Silobration, lots of activity with Magnolia Press opening up. This Silo District is really a force in the Waco commercial scene. Can you give our listeners an idea of what was happening in that part of town 5 years ago?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because 5 years ago is when I was just getting into the business. And so the Silo District, as we know it today, wasn't even on the radar. It wasn't on anybody's radar. And I remember the very first project I worked on over there was Mary Avenue Market. Actually, the guys that own Waco Work were the ones that took off with that development. And at that point, you know, they were years in the future. That's when the silos had just kind of been announced. They hadn't even been open yet. And they were ahead of the curve right there. And that was an old plumbing supply building that I thought, my goodness, you paid way too much for and you're asking way too much rent. But fast forward a couple of years when you have 30,000 people a week walking, visiting Magnolia, visiting the Dr. Pepper Museum and all the entertainment and retailers that have popped up around, it inherently drives prices up. And it is a very attractive, regardless of whether you're looking at the Alamo down San Antonio or looking at the silos in Waco, it has a significant impact on the real estate around.
As a point of comparison, what were the prices that building owners were able to charge for 5 years ago, and what are they getting now?
Yeah, it's funny. I won't mention the property, but I'll tell you, 5 years ago, right in that right in the Silo District, a property went for $135,000, and then a year later, it went for $375,000, and then a year and a half later, it went for $2.5 million. And so, obviously, that's not across the board, but those are just kind of some of the values that we've seen take off here lately.
And that number isn't even a present-day sale. That was a couple years ago.
That was a couple years ago. I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know what it'd go for now. And so we've seen, I think we're at the point right now where we're stabilizing. I don't think we'll see as significant of increases. You know, we may even have a little bit of a market correction in the coming years, but I don't think it's going to be significant. There's enough stuff in the pipeline that's going to keep the motor cranking down there.
So we all know about what Chip and Joanna are doing at the silos. What are some of the other proposed or current developments happening in that area?
Yeah, so we've got the Ready Ice development, which is there on Webster. That is in the works right now. I think we're going to see a multi-use development happen there, and then a property immediately adjacent to that as well. I think it's out there that Homestead Heritage has actually acquired some land on what was 9th Street, which we have now abandoned, but 9th and Jackson. I know their plans keep going back and forth, but I think we'll see some of their mixed-use retail and some residential on that. And then, of course, there's a brewery that we sold at 8th and Jackson that's going to be a hotel, and then the Falcon and Owl building there at 8th and Jackson as well.
I remember reading about this Geyser Ice building that folks had been planning on putting a hotel there. Did that get scrapped when there was announced that there were so many other hotels coming in town?
To my knowledge right now, no, it hasn't. I really can't go too far into that, but I think there will still be a hospitality component on that site. I think we'll see mixed-use retail and maybe even some office there.
What a great space for it. Greg Gleim, our commercial real estate expert here on Downtown Depot, thanks so much for coming by.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Our housing expert, Austin Hooper, is in again this month for the residential recap. Welcome back.
Thank you.
The Waco market is booming. Carr Ingham puts together an economic report for the Waco Tribune Herald and the Central National Bank of Texas every single month. And he quoted in this month's report, "The greater Waco economy clearly remains a growth economy through the third quarter of 2019. He also mentions that 472 permits for new houses were issued through September, and that beat last year's record, which was 445 permits. So once again, Austin, we're seeing that a lot of new construction is coming to Waco.
That's right, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down anytime soon. I know all the builders are still very bullish on our market and are continuing to build, again, mostly in those outer areas that we've talked about before, your China Springs, the 84 corridor, those types of places. But yeah, we are still going strong. And, you know, despite a little bit of a slowdown that we thought we were feeling these last couple months, we've gone right back into that more explosion type territory.
The greater Waco economy has grown for 92 consecutive months, according to Carr Ingham, who is an economist based in Amarillo. And people want to live in Waco. They see that there's buzz happening on TV, and then they come here and they see, oh, wow, there's a real downtown. There is a tangible difference here than there was when I was in college in 1995 or 2000. And a lot of people who come here don't want to live out in Woodway. They don't want to live in China Spring. They want to be in the core of the city. For this neighborhood watch, I want to focus on a neighborhood that is close to downtown, about 10 minutes away, that offers a wide range of sizes and prices for housing, and that's Dean Highland.
Super cool neighborhood, a lot of history in that neighborhood, and as you mentioned, a wide variety of price points, sizes. You've got, you know, two-story, 4,000-square-foot little mini mansions, especially for when it was built. You could tell that this was a very high-end type neighborhood. Then one street over, you've got a little two-bed, one-bath bungalow, 900,000 square feet. So a lot of great options for a variety of home buyers.
So you mentioned these beautiful two-story mansions. It seems like that was a vestige of a time when there was a ton of money in Waco, a ton of money in the area. We see this in a lot of architecture in Waco, you know, houses or buildings from 1905 to 1925 or so are just immaculate. What is the history of this Dean Highland neighborhood?
It certainly, you can kind of see the story of the neighborhood, and similar to stretches of Colcord and, of course, Castle Heights, you could tell that this was a very high-end area. These are where the doctors lived, for example, and the original Hillcrest Hospital was right there in the middle of the Dean Highland area.
Austin, Thanksgiving is coming up in a few weeks. We have Christmas, of course, so people are planning on buying, but are they really thinking about houses, or is this just gifts?
Great question. After Thanksgiving, things do tend to slow down pretty good. People are kind of steering their focus toward the Christmas season. Maybe they're deciding, you know, we're ready to buy a house, but we're going to wait until after the new year. We still have a couple weeks here where there are those families that want to be in their new home before Christmas. So it is still a hot time to buy right now. But yeah, after Thanksgiving, things tend to slow down a little bit.
Austin Hooper with this month's residential recap. Thanks so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I'm now joined in the studio by Veronica Thompson-Smith. Veronica is the community director at Waco Work and the owner of Flower and Ink Floral Designs. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you so much for having me, Austin.
Veronica, what's your Waco history?
I came to Waco in 2002 to go to Baylor. I really didn't know much about Waco before. I think I'd visited once when I was small for a wedding, but came from Wagoner, Oklahoma, and was a apparel design major at Baylor, graduated in 2006, and moved away for about 6 months to San Antonio, and I've been in Waco ever since then.
Do you have memories of Waco while you were a student here? Because oftentimes when I talk to Baylor students and they were here pre-Magnolia event, their life was mostly relegated to the Baylor campus and the few streets around it. They didn't really venture on the other side of the highway. Did you do that?
I did venture. I will say I ventured out a lot more after I graduated. But when I was a student, the big thing to do, we would go to the movies on Fridays. And it was $5 with your student ID. So that was kind of our big getaway from campus, was to go see a movie.
What took you to San Antonio?
So since I was an apparel design major, we had to do an internship in order to graduate. So I got an internship working at a company. They make cheerleading uniforms for the NFL, NBA, NHL. So I was basically a seamstress for a few months and got to see some of my, I didn't really get to design because I was more on the actual production side, but I got to see a lot of the things that I worked on TV when the cheerleaders were wearing them. And it was an awesome experience.
I find a common theme with artistic people like you where your goal in a job is to find something that allows you to create. And sometimes that's in apparel merchandising. Sometimes that's in floral design. Sometimes that's in community development. Mm-hmm. It seems like you have been able to avail yourself to many different mediums since you graduated from Baylor.
Yes, I think originally I had this idea in my head that I would do one thing and it's just going to be apparel design, but that wasn't it. That's not true. I was able to find creativity in a lot of different things. I worked for Dapper Bear Clothiers for a while and got to design some things for them, got to design a Christmas ornament, which was something I definitely didn't think that I would be doing, but creativity and finding what just sparks that joy and creativity. That's been something that I have looked for in every position that I've held.
I remember meeting you because I was driving by a construction site and I saw, I think it was a caterpillar that was crawling up this this construction fencing. And so I wanted to stop and look at it. And then I realized, whoa, this is not a living being. This is something that someone has sewn or stitched. Do you remember that?
I do. I didn't realize, I forgot that that's how we met. So Jonathan Garza, who works for Turner Behringer, he is pretty creative as well. And so he, I think it may have just been a Facebook post and was looking for someone who knew how to crochet and had this idea that maybe he had seen on Instagram or in a different city, but instead of just being a construction fence, wanted to add a little bit of flair to it. And so our thought was originally we'd start with a caterpillar and then go to a cocoon and eventually have a butterfly throughout the different phases of construction. Well, unfortunately, some nice person in Waco cut down the caterpillar. So
they were probably gold, needed a warm hat.
So that project did, it lasted for a few weeks, and it was interesting just to hear people say, what is the deal with this caterpillar on University Drive? But that was, there was an end point. We just quite didn't get there.
Say it with me, listeners. Arts and culture spur economic development. This was
true.
Just an ugly construction fence.
Right.
And they wanted to have you come and bring a little life to it, and that brought you and me together. That's one of the reasons why you're on the show today is because I remember this really intrepid artist who was doing pop-up work in downtown.
Yes.
So
yes,
don't ever feel, artists who are listening to this, like you are relegated to a canvas or you're relegated to a classroom, but it can come up anywhere.
Absolutely.
At some point, you came back to Waco.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was only gone for about 6 months total after my internship. So I was there for, I think 6 months. And when I came back to Waco, I worked in retail management. I worked at Dillard's. That didn't last long. I did that for about 6 months and really just realized that retail management wasn't ultimately what I wanted to do. So I ended up applying for a job at Baylor to work in the undergraduate admissions office. And once I got that job, I loved Baylor, loved my experience there, just had a tremendous time. So when the opportunity came to work at this university that I loved and adored, I jumped on it and ended up being in that same department for almost 10 years.
The managerial skills that you picked up while at Baylor or at Dillard's seem to have equipped you well for your role now at Waco Work.
Yes, for sure. I learned so much in my role at Baylor because I started out as an admissions counselor, traveling to high schools, telling students about Baylor and all the great things that we have, and wanted them to just think about, well, could you see yourself at Baylor? And what would that look like for you? And I went from that, traveling to high schools, to then managing people and then managing people who manage people. So when I left, I was, you know, kind of far up in the leadership there in the admissions office, and those skills that I learned have just been so valuable. Just talking to people every day, being in front of people was something that I did every day. And one thing was conflict resolution. When you're dealing with employees, there are issues that are going to happen. And so sometimes you have to talk about those no matter how awkward it is. And a lot of times that fell on me to have that conversation with people.
You were obviously adept at giving the pitch for why Baylor was the right school for these potential students. What's your pitch for Waco work? Why would someone in Waco, why should they come and spend time at a co-working space?
Absolutely. Co-working is something that has been around for several years. In Waco, we just got our first co-working place. It was May of 2018 when Waco Work opened. So we were Waco's first co-working space. And the owners behind Waco Work had this vision that people who are small business owners, people who are freelancers, maybe you are a remote employee, a place where you can come together and all spend time with one another. You don't have to be alone at home watching TV, Netflix in the background. You don't have to be at a coffee shop. You have a place specifically for you to come together and to just meet other people who are from different backgrounds. So they could be in totally different industries from you. But I think the great thing about co-working is that everyone has something to bring to the table. We have a lawyer, we have Blake Batson that owns Common Grounds, we have a videographer, we have someone who owns an insurance agency, a couple of life coaches. So you have all these people together in one space, and their contributions just to the environment or to conversations that are happening, I learn something new every single day.
Your position at Waco Work is unique in my mind because not only are you the community director, but with Flower and Ink, your floral design company, you're also an entrepreneur yourself. What have you learned about entrepreneurship from watching these fellow entrepreneurs of yours at Waco Work?
It's been eye-opening for me. Entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, especially when you are a company or business of one. You don't always have someone to look to. You might read blogs about entrepreneurship, but to be able to be in a space where so many people are entrepreneurs. And at Waco Work, we have a few businesses that are established businesses. So people have made the mistakes or done some of the things that I am currently trying to figure out, and I can just go to them and ask them. So for me, it's been 100% beneficial to be a business owner and to be in an environment where you just have incredible people that work so hard at what they do, and just the access to talking to people who have been there. I think that's been the greatest thing for me, is just to, at any given moment, be able to ask someone, hey, how did you do this? What was your inspiration? Who do I need to talk to about this?
You're hearing from Veronica Thompson-Smith, Community Director of Waco Work and owner of Flower and Ink Floral Designs. What is your journey with working with flowers?
So I got married April 2015, and my husband and I, we were trying to figure out ways that we could save money for the wedding. And I like to think I'm creative, so I thought, well, what can I do myself where I can save money? So it just so happens that I am in love with continuing education classes at MCC, and they were offering a floral design class. And it was a 6-week class. I saw it. I signed up. I said, this is what I'm doing. So I actually ended up taking that 6-week class and then another class. It was a bridal boot camp class that was just one weekend. And from that, I realized, hey, I actually like this. It no longer became just, how can I save money at my wedding, to maybe I could do this to bring joy to other people. And I have found in my business that I'm now pivoting. I've learned that word recently and love it. I am pivoting in my business and just kind of getting away from the weddings and events and doing more workshops. And I want to be able to kind of do what continuing ed did for me. I want to be able to teach someone who might want to learn how to create a centerpiece or how to do their own bridal bouquet. I would love to teach people how to do those things.
This weekend on 712 Austin Avenue at the excellent gallery Cultivate 712, you can catch Veronica at the Christmas Market, where you are giving workshops both today for centerpieces and tomorrow a workshop on wreath making.
Absolutely. So the one I'm doing today, it is for moms and their kids. So the moms and I, we are going to be making a pumpkin centerpiece while the kids are decorating cookies. And then at the end, we're going to come together and combine that for a centerpiece. So that's fun. I am partnering with, her name is Roxanne Llewellyn from Sugar Home Bakery, and she will be doing the cookie part because that is not what I can do. And I'll be doing the flower part. So that will be Friday or today. And then on tomorrow, I have a wreath workshop that's from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we are going to be working with dried florals. So you don't have to worry about making something that's not going to last. This will last forever, and I'll teach you just really how to make it, how to care for it, and you have creative reign in this class for sure.
I was listening to a podcast a few days ago about a writer, and it was a young person who was asking him a question of, hey, I love this topic, I really want to be a writer. Is that even a sustainable career in 2019? And what this guy said, who is a music writer named Ted Goya, he said, yes, you can be a writer, but you have to put out a tremendous amount of work, and you have to know that you're probably not making your money from writing. You're going to be making your money because someone reads your book, and then they ask you to come and speak on a panel at a conference. And when you're speaking on the panel at the conference, that other person says, oh, hey, that guy knows a lot about this genre of music I love. I want him to write the liner notes for my album. So it's all about stacking yourself. And for you, you got in thinking, I'm just going to make some pretty flowers for my friends' weddings, mm-hmm. or for my own wedding in your case.
Right.
And now it's, how can I translate these skills into other ways? Okay, I'm going to teach a class here. Maybe then you do floral consulting for other florists. It's interesting to see how in 2019, it is so necessary to be able to pivot mm-hmm. so that you can keep this dream alive.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's so important. And honestly, it's just when I left Baylor, I wasn't really sure what the future looked like. And I left there 3 years ago and just knew I wanted something where I could be more creative and maybe kind of forge my own way. And being able to work with flowers and just other creative mediums has been truly a blessing. I didn't know, honestly, how things would turn out, but I am very pleased.
We kind of quickly glanced over your marriage in April 2015,
uh-huh.
But you married someone that listeners of KWBU would be very familiar with. Derek Smith, your husband, uh-huh. is the host of Baylor Connections. You can often hear his voice at Baylor football games and other sporting events. Can you give us a peek into your relationship with Derek?
Yes, I will say what he sounds like when you hear him at the football games or when you hear him on Baylor Connections, he always sounds like that. So the first time I met Derek, I didn't know who he was. And I said, you know, your voice sounds very familiar, but I don't know why I would know you. And it turns out it was from basketball games. I, as a student, would be at all of basketball games. And I'm like, oh, you're the two shots for your Bears. You're that guy. And so, yes, Derek is, he's a kind soul. He works very hard. He actually works full time for Baylor Marketing. And so all of his athletics is just in addition to what he's doing. And he's probably the hardest working person that I know, besides you, obviously.
That's very kind and untrue, but very kind. I think one interesting aspect of Derek's and your relationship is that you're a black woman. He's a white man. You're living here in Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's important, I think, for listeners and especially young listeners to recognize how different America is today than what it was with your grandparents or with their grandparents growing up. In 1967, the landmark case, Loving versus Virginia, that outlawed all of the anti-miscegenation laws, which did not allow people of different races to be in union with each other. We need to recognize that we're not that far from 1967, the civil
yes.
rights fighters. And it was not just black people. It was white people who were standing beside them as well, and lots of Hispanic people voting for themselves. This race for equality is something that was dealt with primarily in the 60s, but we're still dealing with today.
Absolutely.
What is it like being in an interracial relationship? And are you hopeful, happy that we're making progress here in the country?
I'm so glad we're going here. We're diving deep, guys. We're diving deep. I'm not the spokesperson for all people in an interracial relationship. I'll say that. But it is definitely a lot easier now than, like you said, people from different generations. But we are still battling a lot of things. And I think I notice a lot more things than Derek does. You know, there'll be times when we are out together and I notice someone looking at us. Or, for example, we were on our honeymoon. I won't even say where we were, but Derek wanted to go inside a little, like, a general store, and I stayed in the car. I was like, Derek, I don't feel safe here, and I just think maybe this isn't the place where we go in together. And so being married to him, we have both helped each other just kind of see things in different ways. And we're not perfect, but I've learned so much from him, and I hope he's learned so much from me. My mom went to a school that was integrated when she was in high school, and so just to listen to her talk about her experience, I'm so thankful of where I am now and what I'm able to do, but also sometimes it's discouraging, too, to think, wow, this is only as far as we've come.
Young people, ask your parents, ask your grandparents, what was their world like growing up? Because it was so different. My mother grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, was the only white girl in the fourth grade because all the other white people took their families and they moved to different private schools.
Wow.
But my grandmother was a public school teacher and said, hey, like, we're staying here. These are your friends. And
wow.
As a result, my mom has lots of black friends.
Yeah.
Loves the culture. I love the culture. And you have to spend time with it to recognize that it's not so different. And you have a very unique vantage point being married to someone as prominent as Derek.
Right.
And can show everyone in Waco that this is a beautiful union.
Right, right.
You and I have been spending a lot of time recently at Waco Work because I'm teaching my Learn to Podcast class there. Mm-hmm. And in last week's class, there was a black girl in our group who was saying how she had gotten pulled over by a police officer who looked at her ID and she had five or six names from her African heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And the police officer just said, this is too much to deal with. I'm not going to work on it.
Yep.
So go free. So a little bit of reverse racism, I guess you would call that. Or maybe that's just straight up racism. I don't know. But that's just another example of the pervasion of racism. You know, it is here. It is present. Regardless of whether you want to believe it or not, it's a reality for people.
It is a reality for people. And I mean, it is. It's a reality, and it's something that you really can't explain to someone, but maybe when you've seen it firsthand or experienced it yourself, it's definitely something that you don't forget. And I had one experience, though, I'll never forget. Derek and I went to dinner in Dallas, and an older gentleman just kept staring at us, and I was so uncomfortable, and I said, Derek, do you notice this man staring at us? And he actually didn't. And so the man got up to leave. He was with his wife. The man got up to leave dinner, and he came over to our table. And he leaned over, and he hit Derek on the arm. And he said, you know what? She's beautiful, and walked off. And so stories like that give me hope. In my head, that scenario played out totally different. You know, I thought, it's about to go down in this nice restaurant. I'm going to have to take my shoes and earrings off. No, just kidding. But it really was eye-opening for me. Things aren't always as they seem. And I think people need to look at interracial relationships and just know there's a story here. People aren't just staring at us because we're two different races. Maybe they're just curious. And, hey, I'm an open book. You can ask me.
You can find Veronica and ask her any of your questions at Waco Work. What's some of the programming that you guys have going through the end of the year?
Yeah, so podcast class was amazing. I took it. We're going to have some more of those sessions taught by Austin. We have a goal setting class coming up in December. I'm really excited to do that because we have so many business owners and people that are just looking ahead to 2020. So one of our life coaches, her name is Letitia Cato. She'll be teaching a goal setting class in December. And then I'm hoping to teach maybe a flower class or wreath workshop at Waco Work. And we are actually open and looking for people right now that want to teach additional workshops. So a few things that we've talked about are just a book club. We've talked about, a few people have talked about Enneagram. So we've done a lot of different things in the fall, but we're looking ahead to spring. And just if you're interested and have something you'd like to teach, please feel free to get in contact with me.
Veronica Thompson-Smith is the community director of Waco Work and owner of Flower and Ink Floral Designs. Thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Thanks again to Veronica Thompson-Smith, Greg Gleim, Austin Hooper, and you for tuning in. I'm hosting my next podcasting class at Waco Work on Thursday, November 21st, and you can get more info about that and other happenings in town on the Waco Business News pages on Instagram and Facebook. I'm Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business here on 103.3 Waco Public Radio.